From outside came the clang of horseshoes on the iron stake, and then a little chorus of cries. Lenny got up and brought the puppy back and laid it on the hay and sat down. He stroked the puppy again.
"You wasn't big enough,"
he said.
"They told me and told me you wasn't. I didn't know you'd get killed so easy."
He worked his fingers on the pup's limp ear.
"Maybe George won't care,"
he said.
"This here goddamn little son of a bitch wasn't nothing to George."
Curly's wife came around the end of the last stall. She came very quietly, so that Lenny did not see her. She wore her bright cotton dress and the mules with the red ostrich feathers. Her face was made up, and the little sausage curls were all in place. She was quite near to him before Lenny looked up and saw her. In a panic, he shoveled hay over the puppy with his fingers. He looked sullenly up at her. She said,
"What you got there, sonny boy?"
Lenny glared at her.
"George says I ain't to have nothing to do with you. Talk to you or nothing."
She laughed.
"George giving you orders about everything?"
Lenny looked down at the hay.
"Says I can't tend no rabbits if I talk to you or anything."
She said quietly,
"He's scared Curly'll get mad." "Well, Curly got his arm in a sling, and if Curly gets tough, you can break his other hand. You didn't put nothing over on me about it getting caught in no machine."
But Lenny was not to be drawn.
"No, sir. I ain't gonna talk to you or nothing."
She knelt in the hay beside him.
"Listen," she said. "One of the guys got a horseshoe tenement going on. It's only about 4 o'clock. None of them guys are gonna leave that tenement. Why can't I talk to you? I never get to talk to nobody. I get awful lonely."
Lenny said,
"Well, I ain't supposed to talk to you or nothing."
"I get lonely," she said. "You can talk to people, but I can't talk to nobody but Curly. Else he gets mad. How'd you like not to talk to anybody?"
Lenny said,
"Well, I ain't supposed to. George is scared I'll get in trouble."
She changed the subject.
"What you got covered up there?"
Then all of Lenny's woe came back on him.
"Just my pup,"
he said sadly.
"Just my little pup."
And he swept the hay from on top of it.
"Why, he's dead,"
she cried.
"He was so little,"
said Lenny.
"I was just playing with him, and he made like he's going to bite me, and I made like I was going to smack him, and I'd done it, and then he was dead."
She consoled him.
"Don't you worry none. He was just a mutt. You can get another one easy. Whole country is full of mutts."
"It ain't that so much,"
Lenny explained miserably.
"George ain't gonna let me tend no rabbits now."
"Why don't he?"
"Well, he said if I done any more bad things, he ain't gonna let me tend the rabbits."
She moved closer to him and she spoke soothingly.
"Don't you worry about talking to me. Listen to the guys yell out there. They got $4 bet on that tenement. None of them ain't going to leave till it's over."
"If George sees me talking to you, he'll give me hell,"
Lenny said cautiously.
"He told me so."
Her face grew angry.
"What's the matter with me?"
she cried.
"Ain't I got a right to talk to nobody? What do they think I am, anyways? You're a nice guy. I don't know why I can't talk to you. I ain't doing no harm to you."
"Well, George says you'll get us in a mess."
"Oh, nuts,"
she said.
"What kind of harm am I doing to you? Seems like they ain't none of them cares how I gotta live. I tell you, I ain't used to living like this. I could have made something of myself,"
she said darkly.
"Maybe I will yet."
And then her words tumbled out in a passion of communication, as though she hurried before her listener could be taken away.
"I lived right in Salinas," she said. "Come there when I was a kid. Well, a show come through, and I met one of the actors. He says I could go with that show. But my old lady wouldn't let me, she says, because I was only 15. But the guy says I coulda. If I'd went, I wouldn't be living like this, you bet."
Lenny stroked the pup back and forth.
"We're gonna have a little place and rabbits,"
he explained. She went on with her story quickly before she could be interrupted.
Another time, I met a guy, and he was in pictures. Went out to the Riverside Dance Palace with him. He says he was going to put me in the movies. Says I was a natural. Soon as he got back to Hollywood, he was going to write to me about it.
She looked closely at Lenny to see whether she was impressing him.
I never got that letter, she said. I always thought my old lady stole it. Well, I wasn't going to stay no place where I couldn't get nowhere and make something of myself. Where they stole your letters. I asked her if she stole it, too. She says no. So, I married Curly. Met him out at the Riverside Dance Palace that same night.
She demanded.
You listening?
Me? Oh, sure.
Well, I ain't told this to nobody before. Maybe I oughtn't to. I don't like Curly. He ain't a nice fella.
And because she had confided in him, she moved closer to Lenny and sat beside him.
Could have been in the movies. Had nice clothes. All them nice clothes like they wear, and I could have sat in them big hotels and had pictures took of me. When they had them previews, I could have went to them and spoke on the radio, and it wouldn't have cost me a cent because I was in the picture. And all them nice clothes like they wear. Because this guy says I was a natural.
She looked up at Lenny, and she made a small grand gesture with her arm and hand to show that she could act. The fingers trailed after her leading wrist, and her little fingers stuck out grandly from the rest. Lenny sighed deeply. From outside came the clang of a horseshoe on metal, and then a chorus of cheers.
Somebody made a ringer,
said Curly's wife.